Well, hey everybody, welcome to part two of episode 239 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast, and MJ is also the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic now, and they supply a nice office over here at the new Standard Building behind the Come and Go on Northeast 36th, where we record the podcast. So we appreciate their cooperation with that. We're going to talk a lot of football in part two of the podcast. Of course, Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial will collide in the Class 4A semifinals on Friday night at 7 at the Unidome in Cedar Falls. This will be only the second playoff meeting ever between the two schools and the first ever meeting in the Dome. In a little while, I'll be talking to a couple of players from Ankeny. But right now, we're going to break down the game from the Centennial side of things. My first guest is a junior running back for the Jaguars, and he has helped the team to a 7-4 record. On Friday night, he rushed for 68 yards on 8 carries and also caught 4 passes for 61 yards. The Centennial advanced to the semifinals with a 41-14 victory at number 5 Bettendorf. For the season, he has rushed for 569 yards and 7 touchdowns, while catching 28 passes for 319 yards and 4 more scores. He is Braden Jackson. Braden, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Yeah, no problem. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Well, before we break down Friday's big game, I did want to ask you about last week's contest at Bettendorf. You know, I don't know if I've ever seen a game that has turned around more in the second half like that one did. You guys committed 3 turnovers in the first half and went to the locker room trailing 14-0, but then came out in the second half and scored 41 unanswered points to punch your ticket to the Dome. You know, what did you guys do to flip the script there in the second half?
I would just say, you know, we believed in each other and we know like what we're capable of. Our coaches gave us a great halftime speech to, you know, come out with that energy that we needed. We're confident. We knew, like, that we were the better team. We just had to go out and play like it and not, you know, shoot ourselves in the foot and keep making those mistakes we did in the first half.
Well, this isn't the first time this season that you guys have looked like two different teams in the same game. You know, in that season opener against Ankeny, your team jumped out to a 17-0 lead, and you later held a 24-7 advantage before the Hawks scored a big touchdown late in the half to make it 24-14 at the break. You guys then went scoreless in the second half, and Ankeny was able to tie the game up and send it into overtime, and the Hawks eventually won, of course, 39-38 in double overtime. So why do you think you guys have been inconsistent at times?
You know, I think in that first part, we got tired, we made mental mistakes, you know, jumping offside and stuff like that. Those are momentum killers. And I think, like, going into this week, we have to eliminate those. You know, it's going to be a very loud environment, and we can't, you know, let that affect us. We got to stay true to who we are.
Well, I'm sure you guys felt like you let that first Ankeny game slip away from you. And I was over in Bettendorf last Friday and saw how excited you guys were when you learned that you'd be getting a rematch against the Hawks in the semifinals. And, of course, there was so much that had to happen for the rematch to even occur. Did you ever imagine when the playoffs began that you'd get another shot at Ankeny?
You know, honestly, I didn't really expect this to happen. But, you know, I wouldn't have it anyway. It's going to be a great environment, a great experience. I'm just really looking forward to it.
Well, let's break down this matchup a little bit. You guys obviously have an explosive offense. You're averaging more than 36 points per game, but you'll now be facing a defense that has allowed you 16 points in 2 games in the playoffs, including holding Dowling to just 7 points in the quarterfinals. What do you think has made their defense so good in the playoffs, and what will be the key for your team to have some success against them?
You know, when you look at their defense, they swarm the ball. They're a pretty fast defense. They've got a lot of good playmakers. They got Kaiser, who's in the middle. They got Doherty, who's a good safety. And, you know, we just have to play our game, really, because I know we have a very fast offense. We just have to not make those mistakes and just execute on the level that we can.
Well, you had 14 carries for 63 yards in the first game against Ankeny, but I imagine the Hawks will be prepared to stop, you know, your backfield teammate Elijah Porter as well. He ran for 187 yards and a touchdown on 22 carries in that game. You know, do you think that might open up some opportunities for you on Friday night?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel like just as a duo, me and him have grown so much since the season. I feel like our confidence has gone up. We can play off each other really well. And I think, you know, how big of a threat he is, that just opens up more minutes for me when you have to worry about him. So I'm really excited for that.
Well, I know Ankeny has a pretty good backfield duo of its own, but do you feel like you and Elijah are one of the best duos in the state?
I think we are the best duo in the state.
Well, Elijah's had a great season, of course. He's rushed for 1,166 yards and 16 touchdowns, and he's closing in on the 2,000-yard mark for his career. He announced his verbal commitment to Northern Illinois a few weeks ago. So have you learned a lot from playing with him this season? Has he been a good mentor for you?
For sure. He's a great player. He's always putting in work. He's a no-days-off type of guy. He makes everyone around him better, and, you know, it's just a great experience to be able to play and just build off of him.
Well, Braden, I know you don't play defense, but how do you see the matchup between your team's defense and Ankeny's offense? Do you think your guys will be able to slow the Hawks down?
For sure. I think we have one of the best defenses in the state. I mean, we have a fast defense, like I said. We've got one of the better safety duos in the state, for sure. They've been playing lights out recently. Our D-line's been getting to the quarterback, and our linebackers have helped set the run. So I think we're in good shape.
Well, how many points do you think you guys will need to score to win the game? Of course, the last game was tied at 24 all at the end of regulation. Do you think if you score 24 again, that will be enough to win?
I do think so, yeah.
Well, Braden, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you, one other question. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this are aware that your dad, Fred, was a legendary running back at Coe College who went on to play 9 seasons with the Buffalo Bills. He became the 3rd all-time leading rusher. In the 2015 season, he was the oldest active running back in the NFL. You know, I think it might be a little difficult to follow in the footsteps of your dad. Has that put any pressure on you, or does that give you, does he give you some feedback after each game?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I wouldn't say it puts pressure on me. You know, I have the expectations that I have for myself, and I try not to let any outside noise get to me, but I think it helps a lot, you know, just him being able to help me and, you know, look at different things that most people wouldn't be able to see. I think it just gives me kind of a leg up on competition.
Sure. Well, hey, Braden, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. My next guest is a senior defensive back for the Jaguars. He made 7.5 tackles in Friday's win, including 5 solo stops. And he also had a huge interception that led to the tying touchdown in the 3rd quarter. For the season, he ranks 4th on the team with 46.5 tackles. He is Nate Christensen. Nate, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, I want to get your thoughts on the win over Bettendorf as well. Your defense gave up a scoring drive right before the half that allowed Bettendorf to take a 14-0 lead into the break. But then in the second half, you guys allowed just 80 total yards. So did your defense make any adjustments at halftime, or did you guys just start playing better?
No, we didn't make any adjustments at halftime. We had confidence in our guys. You know, Coach Anderson, he's a big influence on all of us. He gave us a good halftime speech at halftime, and we knew that we would just go out there and play our best ball, and that's what we did, and we stopped him. Yeah.
Well, your offense, of course, struggled in the first half. They committed 3 turnovers. Were you confident that they could put things together in the second half?
Yeah, of course. I always had confidence in my offense. I knew that they would get stuff together and get it rolling. That's exactly what happened.
Well, let's dissect Friday's game now. You guys gave up 39 points in the first meeting against Ankeny, but since then you've allowed just 12.1 points per game. You know, what do you think you guys learned from that first game that you were able to, you know, make some adjustments going forward?
Yeah, we knew that wasn't us at first in the first game. You know, we made some adjustments on the D-line and some coverage adjustments as well. And, you know, we think we're more built and we've grown a lot since that first game. You know, we think we're ready for this matchup.
Well, your defense held Ankeny scoreless in the first quarter of that game, but the Hawks eventually got their offense on track, and they finished with more than 400 total yards. Daniel Army rushed for 114 yards on 25 carries, and quarterback Luke Anderson passed for 221 yards and 2 touchdowns, even though he completed just 14 of 30 passes. So what do you think will be the key for your defense on Friday to slow them down?
D-line, for sure, getting to the ball, and we have been doing that recently. We've been putting pressure on a lot of the quarterbacks. You know, we got Isaiah Bassett. He's a freak of nature out there getting to the quarterback, and we got Mitchell Grider as well. I think that'll be key for sure, and, you know, defensive backs, we've been playing lights out as well, so I think that'll be key for sure.
Well, of course, Ankeny has a talented receiving core that you're going to have to deal with again. Evan Erlmeyer had 8 catches for 107 yards in that first game, including a 4th down catch in the second overtime that cut your team's lead to 38-37. And Devin Akers had 3 catches for 90 yards. And, of course, he caught the game-winning 2-point conversion pass for the Hawks. So you've certainly got your hands full with those guys. You know, is Akers a guy that you almost have to double cover on every play? Because at 6'6", you know, he's a guy that Ankeny likes to go to just about any time he's single covered.
Yeah, he's a freak of nature for sure. We're definitely going to have to key on him and, you know, focus on where he's at. We got Connor Welsh, who's a great defensive back as well. We're going to have him follow him the whole game. You know, we're going to have trust in him. And basically, we're just going to execute to the best as possible as we can.
Well, you guys were able to avenge an earlier loss to Waukee Northwest in the opening round of the playoffs, and now you get a chance to avenge another one of your losses. You know, you guys were pretty excited on Friday when you found out that you'd be playing Ankeny again, weren't you?
Absolutely. We were fired up. We knew this was a great matchup. We were extremely excited. We wanted to get our get back from week one, and, you know, we're super excited for this.
Well, yeah, I'm sure revenge was a big motivating factor against Northwest. And do you think that factor is going to give you guys any kind of a mental edge on Friday?
Of course. We're going to keep that 39-38 score in the back of our head the whole entire game and keep driving.
Well, even though you don't play offense, what do you think will be the key for your offense to have success against Ankeny's defense since the Hawks, you know, have been playing so well?
Definitely opening up the pass. You know, we got Braden, of course, and Elijah as well. They're elite backs in the backfield. So I think opening up the pass will definitely be key with Chase Shetty and Max Snyder and Lawson Langford as well.
Well, I asked Braden this question. I'll ask you, too. If your offense can score 24 points, do you think that'll be enough for you guys to win?
Of course. I definitely do. I think our defense has been playing lights out, and I think we're going to hold them to under that.
Well, Centennial has won 8 of the 12 meetings in the history of the rivalry. The only playoff meeting came in the opening round in 2016, and the Jaguars prevailed 34-24. And I had your teammate Chase Shetty on the podcast before the playoffs started, and he said you guys were kind of going on a revenge tour. You got that revenge against Northwest, and now you get a chance, you know, against Ankeny, obviously. And if you win, you'll play the winner of the Southeast Polk versus Valley game in next week's championship game. And Southeast Polk is another team that you could get some revenge against because you guys lost to the Rams 24-21 on September 15th. So if your team is able to advance, you know, Would you like another shot at Southeast Polk?
Oh, absolutely. We came up just short that game. You know, we want that game back for sure. You know, week four, that we're still learning, and we've grown a lot since then, and I think that would definitely be a good get back in.
Well, I'm sure you'd like nothing more than to close out your high school career with a state title, and I imagine you guys would love to win one for Coach Jerry Pizzetti as well. Of course, he won a pair of championships at Ankeny before coming over to Centennial to start the Jaguars program in 2013, along with his son Ryan. And I don't know how much longer Jerry plans on coaching, but what do you think that would mean to him if you guys could win him another title?
Oh, it would mean a ton. We love Jerry. You know, he's one of the best coaches I've ever had personally, and of course his son as well. You know, we all look up to him, and it'd be a great feeling if we could get him another championship.
Well, it should be a great game on Friday night. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot for coming in tonight, Nate.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a junior quarterback for Ankeny, and he has helped the Hawks to an 8-3 record this season. On Friday, he completed 13 of 16 passes for 120 yards and two touchdowns as Ankeny stunned number 2 Dowling Catholic 14-7 to advance to the semifinals. For the season, he has completed 142 of 224 passes for 1,851 yards and 18 scores. He is Luke Anderson. Luke, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, before we break down Friday's game, I did want to ask you a couple questions about the win over Dowling. I think you guys shocked a lot of people around the state with that victory. But you guys obviously believed that you could pull off the upset. Now, you guys had lost to Dowling earlier in the season, 35-14. So what gave you the confidence that you guys could avenge that loss?
I think we're a completely different team from earlier in the season. You know, our defense made some changes, and our offense kind of got a view of the thing, so we're figuring stuff out.
Well, you threw a pair of touchdown passes to Andrew Brandhorst and Mason Randolph in that game, and those two guys aren't usually your primary targets. They had combined for just two scores prior to Friday night. So was that a case of taking what the defense was giving you, or were the Maroons focusing a lot of their attention on your top two receivers, Devin Akers and Evan Rollmeyer?
Yeah, going into the week, we knew we'd have to have some guys step up, and we asked for them to do that, and, you know, they stepped up.
Well, I was over in Bettendorf for Centennial's game, and the Jaguars were clearly very happy afterwards when they found out that they'd be getting another shot at you guys in the semifinals. What was your reaction when you found out that you'd be playing Centennial again?
At first, I was honestly just happy we won the game. I didn't really care who we played, but I knew it would be another fun one. So,
well, going into the playoffs, there probably wasn't a high degree of probability that this matchup would happen. I mean, did you ever imagine that you'd be playing the Jaguars again?
No, not really, but...
Well, of course, you guys rallied from a 17-0 deficit to beat the Jaguars in the season opener, 39-38 in double overtime. You completed 14 of 30 passes for 221 yards and two touchdowns in that game. You were also picked off once, and the Jaguars actually won the turnover battle that night, 3-0. Now, both teams have certainly improved a lot since August. So do you think you can take much away from that game?
A few things here and there, but kind of just got to focus on recent games and how it's going now.
Well, of course, that was your first varsity start, and you guys did get off to a slow start in that game. Were you a little nervous, that night, at the beginning?
Obviously, a few nerves going in. Not a lot of experience under my belt, but yeah.
Well, Centennial's defense has played really well in the playoffs. The Jaguars gave up just 7 points in the first round against Waukee Northwest, and then last week they shut out Bettendorf in the second half when they made their huge comeback. So what have you seen from the Jaguars on film? Have they made some adjustments since you played them in the opener?
Yeah, they got a lot of dudes who can make plays, so... Obviously, we're going to have to look at them on film, you know, be aware of where those guys are at and, you know, what they're doing.
Yeah, they got some guys on the D-line that can get after you, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Well, you guys were able to have a balanced attack against Dowling. Daniel Army and Caden Henkes combined for 122 yards on the ground, and that's something those two guys have been doing all season. They've combined for nearly 2,000 yards and 18 touchdowns overall. And I know you guys had like a 9-minute drive to open the game against Dowling, and that really set the tone for the night. So I'm guessing part of your plan on Friday night is to try to establish the run and control the clock a little bit and keep their offense off the field, isn't it?
Yeah, we got to start out fast. I think whoever's going to be more physical and play fast is going to win.
Well, I know you don't play defense, but how do you see the matchup between your defense and the Jaguars' offense? Your defense has allowed just 16 points in the two playoff games, so I'm guessing you have a lot of confidence in those guys right now, don't you?
Oh, yeah, they've been playing really well. You know, Connor Kaiser right here, great leader for our defense. You know, we got playmakers, Moorfield's got a lot of picks on the year, Doherty, you know, hitting people, so...
Well, I had one coach tell me that he thinks, you know, your squad is the most overachieving team in Class 5A this season. And certainly there weren't a lot of expectations for your team, you know, in the first season under Coach Jeff Bauer. So regardless of what happens on Friday, you know, this has been a very successful season for you guys. What has Coach Bauer brought to the program? You know, he seems like he's a little more subdued than Coach Nelson was.
Yeah, he's brought a lot. I think a lot stuff is really organized well, and he brought together a really good coaching staff, you know, McGackie on the defensive side, Walls on the offensive side. Got a lot more coaches this year, so that's been great.
Well, Luke, I know you guys can't look past Friday night, but if you are able to win, then you know that you would play either Southeast Polk or Valley in the championship game next week, and your team already avenged this loss to Dowling, and the only other two teams that defeated you, of course, were Southeast Polk and Valley, so you could get a chance at some more revenge. If you can advance, you know, would you have a preference for who you would play next week? Would you like an opportunity to knock off the two-time defending champs?
No, we're really just going to focus on this week, and we'll play either team. We don't care who's on the other side of the ball.
Well, it should be a fun one Friday night. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you at the game, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet. Well, my final guest tonight is a senior linebacker for the Hawks. On Friday, he made 6.5 tackles, including 5 solo stops in Ankeny's upset over Dowling. For the season, he ranked 2nd on the team in tackles with 76.5. He has also recorded 3.5 sacks. Back in late July, he verbally committed to play for Northern Iowa next year, so he'll be playing his final high school game either this week or next on the same field that he'll call home for the next 4 or 5 years. He is Connor Kaiser. Connor, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on making it to the Dome. I don't think too many people expected you guys, you know, to make it this far this year. You were one of only a few returning starters from last year's squad, and the program, of course, also made the transition from Coach Nelson to Coach Bauer. You know, did you think at the beginning of the season that this was even possible?
I think with all the new stuff that was happening, all the new coaching staff, it was really kind of hard to look down the road and figure out where we were going to be at. And then, you know, slow start to the season, like you mentioned, we lost to Southeast Polk and Dowling earlier in the year. And that kind of rattled us enough that we were at a low point. We decided, you know, there's only one way from here, and we kind of got things done for the rest of the season. And now we're looking at a real blessing in front of us to go play in the Dome. So.
Well, yeah, your defense has really peaked in the postseason. Last Friday, you guys allowed just 187 total yards to a Dowling team that had racked up more than 500 yards in the first game against your team. So what has been the key to your success the last 2 weeks? Has it been the schemes that you guys have played, or has it just been a matter of, you know, executing what you guys wanted to do?
I think it's been a lot of coaching. You know, our coaches are the most passionate group of people I think I've ever had the blessing of playing under in my life, and it's really special when they can get players to buy into their program and go about it the way that they feel is necessary. So our guys are very coachable, and we've really just executed what they needed us to execute.
On the first game against Centennial, you had 7.5 tackles, including 4 solo stops. Your team trailed at halftime 24-14, but then pitched a shutout in the second half as you guys came back to tie it up, and then you eventually won in double overtime. So it seemed like you guys maybe figured some things out as far as defending the Jaguars as that game progressed. You know, but that was such a long time ago, and I'm guessing they look like a different team on film now, don't they?
Yes, sir. It's a brand new season for everybody, especially, you know, you get in the Dome, it's a crazy environment, and no school on Friday, too, so it's going to be a lot of people there, and it's just going to be a very different game from the first time we saw him, so we're trying to approach it with a clean slate.
Well, you also played a big role in offense in that game. You ran the ball 6 times out of the Wildcat formation for 8 yards and a pair of touchdowns in some short yardage situations. But you haven't carried the ball since, and I don't know if you've even lined up for an offensive play since that night. So did you guys kind of decide that maybe that was, you know, too much to ask of you since you're on the field, you know, for every defensive play already?
I've been begging Coach to get me back in there, but, man, I get tired.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So, you know, it's just something that's very niche, and, you know, we have a lot of faith in Luke and Daniel and Caden to get the job done, so I haven't been needed over there in a while, but who knows, we got 2 games left, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd be willing to do anything, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Centennial, of course, has an explosive offense with a lot of weapons, but the Jaguars, you know, sometimes look like 2 different teams from one game to the next or even within the same game. Last Friday, they had 3 turnovers and were shut out in the first half at Bettendorf, but then they erupted for 41 unanswered points and nearly 200 yards in the second half. So what's going to be the key for you guys to slow them down?
We've talked a lot about that game and how, you know, even sometimes throughout the season we've been a tale of 2 halves. So Elijah Porter, we've watched a lot of film on him, talked a lot about him because he's a dude that can change a game at any moment. He's dangerous, you know. If we don't tackle him, you know, we don't tackle Shuddy, all those dudes, we're you know, it's going to be a struggle, but I think it's very straightforward what we need to do, and we got confidence that we can do it, so.
Well, yeah, Centennial obviously has a lot of speed, you know, on offense. You mentioned Elijah. Braden Jackson was just here on the podcast. They have Max Snyder, the wideout. He's the team's leading receiver. And you mentioned Shetty. You can't forget about him. He leads the team with 9 touchdown catches. Now, I know your defense has some fast guys as well, but, you know, do you think playing indoors at the Dome with a controlled environment, you know, does that give them any kind of advantage with their speed?
I think we got Coach Brady Walls, and I love that guy to death, and he's been really working us this whole season, you know, getting our speed right, getting all that stuff right, so. I think we match up pretty well, especially on the defensive half of the ball. Dudes like Doherty and the back half of our defense, they're going to be able to fly around and make plays for us when the time comes.
Yeah, you guys fly to the ball pretty well. So, well, I'm sure you feel like if your offense, you know, can have some success and control the ball like it did at times against Dowling, you know, especially with that 9-minute drive, that will help your defense. How important do you think it is to win that time of possession?
I think it's very important. I think we learned that against Dowling. We had one drive where it got a little iffy. They held the ball for a while on us, but I think it's you got to find the balance of, you know, your offense being on the field for enough plays that your defense can get rest, and then our defense has to step up and make those plays when they're giving us time to rest. So it'll be settling into the game, the environment, finding that balance, but I think we're in good shape.
Well, if this turns out to be another close game, and then, of course, the special teams could play a big role in the outcome as well. Both teams went 1-for-2 on field goals in the first meeting, and that ended up being a one-point game. So, obviously, another make or miss here or there, you know, could have changed the result. Do you guys spend a lot of time on the special teams during practice, and is that something that Coach Bauer puts a lot of emphasis on?
You know what? We've really put some emphasis on it the more we've gone into this playoff run, and our kicker, Ryan Harrington, has been unbelievable for us all year. He's really stepped up. He hadn't gotten a lot of playing time, if any, last year, I think, and we crank the music up at practice pretty good, get all the players out there screaming and yelling, so it's a pretty fun period of our practice, but he's been money for us, so proud of him.
Well, I mentioned how you're going to be playing at the Dome, which is going to be your future home. You got to be really excited to be going up there, huh?
Yeah, it's awesome. I think you and I has an away game this week, but I'm hoping next week, you know, can't look ahead like you said, but if we do get to the championship game, I think they'll have a home game that week, so looking forward to hopefully playing in front of some of those coaches that I'll be with for the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, Connor, I bet your dad, Mike, is really looking forward to the game. Some of the older football fans here in this town might remember when Mike was the quarterback at Ankeny, and he helped the Hawks to their first semifinal appearance back in 1989. I was actually there and covered that game. You know, I remember that game because back in those days, they didn't play the semifinal games at the Unidome. So Ankeny actually hosted the game on a Saturday afternoon. It was about 20 degrees out. Mike, of course, went on to play in college at Mankato State. But has he told you much about his high school career and that game specifically?
We talked about it a lot, and actually we just talked about that game not that long ago because he was talking about how lucky we are that we get to go play inside, and you know, he had to go play out in the elements and how much tougher he is, and yada yada yada. But especially playing quarterback, when I was sophomore, obviously he had experience at that position, especially in the realm of high school sports, so that helped me a lot. And then he doesn't know a lot about linebacker. He likes to think that, you know, he knows more than me, but
right.
Yeah, he's definitely helped motivate me to work in the off season and just continue to be a leader and continue to push our guys. So he's taught me a lot in that area.
Now, did you ever play quarterback when you were younger, or have you always been a defensive guy?
Well, so they have the weight limit for AJF. I used to play on the offensive line, but I played on the defensive line a little bit too, and then played quarterback sophomore year, played tight end freshman year. So this is my second year as a true defensive player, but I mean, I've loved every minute of it. I still wish I could go back and play a little quarterback. I used to love that, but yeah.
Yeah, it seems like you found a home, so.
Yes, for sure.
Well, hey, it should be a great game Friday night. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you there, and thanks a lot for coming in, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight on part one of the podcast. We had Ankeny Christian Academy volleyball coach Michelle Quick and her daughter, Katie Quick. We discussed the Eagles' run to a second consecutive state volleyball championship. And if you haven't listened to that one already, I'd encourage you to go listen to it. They talked a lot about what an amazing week that was over there in Coralville last week. And then on part two of the podcast, from Ankeny Centennial, we had Braden Jackson and Nate Christensen. And just got done talking with from Ankeny. We had Connor Kaiser and Luke Anderson. I appreciate the time from all those folks. I know it's a busy week for all the football guys as they get ready for the big showdown at the Unidome. And, of course, we know that one of these teams will be advancing to the championship game next week. So I'm planning a big preview for that game next week and hoping to line up maybe a coach and a player from the opposing team as well. As I've already made some contact there with Coach Z over at Southeast Polk and Coach Swenson at Valley. So we'll see how that game turns out as well. So anyway, come back for next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.